Whether you're thinking about just taking a trip to Portugal or moving your whole life over to this part of the world, there are some things that you definitely want to not do while you're here. I'm Rafael Di Furia. This is another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and roll that intro. In this episode, we're going to be going over some things that I would say definitely don't do or expectations not to have while you're in the country. The first one is expecting to be able to go to a restaurant on a Monday. Not all restaurants are open on Mondays. It's going to definitely depend on where you are, but there are a lot of restaurants that will keep their hours a bit more open, say from Friday till Sunday or Friday and Saturday, but then Monday and Tuesday or just Monday or Tuesday will kind of be the day off. That will be the weekend, kind of, so to speak, for the workers. So that's one thing, especially even like in a city like where I live, Braga. There are tons of restaurants that you can't even consider thinking about. Even some cafes, I would say, aren't always reliably open on Mondays. For people from certain parts of the world, like North America or even Northern Europe, that tend to eat dinner a bit earlier, don't expect to go and have dinner at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening. Even in Italy, I remember there were plenty of times, and here the same thing has happened, where I rolled up and I was like, hey, are you guys open yet? Like, no, not for another hour and a half, 2 hours. Come back then. Or if you want to sit and have a drink for 2 hours, you're more than welcome, but we can't serve you until then. But while we're on the topic of food, you definitely can't leave the country without trying a pastel de nata, or if you're in Lisbon, specifically pastel de Belém. While I'm not going to say they are my favorite, it is one of those things that is so classically Portuguese, it has become so inherent to the identity of this country on an international level that you really have to try the real deal, especially if you've tried a quote-unquote Portuguese custard tart or a Portuguese tart in some other part of the world. They just simply don't compare, especially when they're nice, fresh, and hot. Whew. And if you are in the north of Portugal, of course, something that I do always recommend trying, even though it is probably going to be a bit too much for most people, try a francesinha, but try it at a place that is a good place. A bad francesinha is going to be really bad. It is a very intense meal and can go wrong in so many different ways. And not just because I live in Braga, but personally, I am partial to the Braga variety and the sauce that you can find in this city. But on the topic of food, still continuing, we have to say that if you are coming to Portugal, don't think that the only dessert that they have in this country is pastéis de nata, the Portuguese custard tarts. There's plenty more than that. Personally, I'm more of a fan of baba de camelo. It literally just means camel spit. It kind of looks like it too, but it's very delicious. It's just condensed milk that's been cooked for a very long time, turns a little bit more of a brownish color, and sometimes they put like some nuts on top, and it's, I would say, quite good. Or another thing that I really like also is called bola de bolacha. It's kind of a cream cake sort of thing with made with cookies. It's a very simple thing, and it's not specifically only found here in Portugal, but that's one of the things that I personally enjoy more. Think tiramisu, kind of, minus some of the coffee flavor, but some places do it slightly like that, but it's definitely not the same as tiramisu, but in that kind of direction. And also, it's made in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you find it served as just a slice of cake, and sometimes you find it as kind of like in a bowl, almost like a pudding sort of thing. Depends on where you get it. But also, thinking about pastéis de Belém, one of the biggest mistakes that a person can make when visiting Portugal is thinking that Lisbon is the only place to visit. I would say Lisbon doesn't represent Portugal in the same way that, like, maybe New York doesn't represent the whole of the U.S., although I would say Lisbon is much more definitely classically Portuguese with the architecture and some of the way that it kind of represents the culture of the country and connects with the culture around the country a lot more. But to me, especially having grown up on the West Coast, the cultural influence of New York isn't the same necessarily as whatever. Not important to get into this. And personally, I actually prefer Porto. I like the city a bit more. It's a bit more relaxed, a bit more calm, a lot less touristy, but it's still very touristy, especially in the summertime. Like, you can get caught. And the one thing that I would say, especially about Lisbon, is that when you are walking in the center of the city, sometimes you can feel almost quite appropriately like a sardine in the city, just because of how how prevalent sardines in this country are. But it really, you can feel very much like you're packed in that city. So for that reason, it's not necessarily my favorite place, but definitely worthwhile visiting if you're coming from the other side of the world and have never been there before. Although this next point, regardless of what city you ever end up in, if you are coming here and wear high heels and plan to go out for an evening, definitely don't wear the heels, at least not the ones with a spike. I've seen so many sink their heels into the Portuguese walkways, into the tiles, and just really, really get hurt. I'd even met people years ago that got hurt when they were 18 on the Portuguese sidewalks and still in their 70s had pain and problems from all those years before. Portugal is definitely one of those countries where you want to wear some comfortable shoes, but it's not just comfortable, but good shoes. And the cobblestones are very rarely totally level, the calçadas, and also in the rain, they can get pretty slippery. Another aspect of life here, if you are especially traveling and looking to go out and have some fun on that night where you're not wearing your heels, don't necessarily expect to show up at a club at 9 or 10 o'clock and have the party be ready to roll. That's going to be maybe some people's kind of dinner time, end of dinner time. In the few times that I've gone out in this country, I've really seen things not really starting until maybe 2 or 3 o'clock sometimes, 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember even, not this last New Year's Eve, but the New Year's Eve before, that I went out with some friends. We decided to go to a place and we didn't make a reservation or anything, which was definitely the wrong choice. But the thing was actually, because people start their evenings and going out to places so late, we actually had no problem to get not only just a table at a club, but like a whole large couch seating area that was ready for us. They said, just as long as you're out by 12:45, you can stay. It doesn't matter. And for me personally, I wasn't really looking to be out much later than that anyway. So we actually had a perfectly comfortable place to sit. But then I remember a friend was having their birthday and a big group of us decided to go to this one club here in Braga. And I left at midnight and it was still maybe 12:30 or so. Even then, it was really, really quiet. But apparently, according to the people that stayed, by the time like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rolled up, things were really, really going. Another mistake that a lot of people make is thinking that it's always going to be sunny year round in this country. And even some of the parts of the country that boast 200 days of sunshine per year, the definition, I might be wondering how that goes, because even in some of the sunniest parts, you still can get a lot of rain and not be warm at all in the middle of winter. It can get quite cold, but it depends on if you are, of course, in the mainland or if you're off in the Azores or Madeira, but I'm speaking mostly really about mainland Portugal here, of course. But if you are in the north of Portugal, yeah, maybe you will get some sun, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty chilly and very often very wet. And this also can lead itself to water sports. If you are someone who is looking to go to the beach and looking to go swimming often, the water isn't always so warm here. That's the way that I'll put it. Another thing, if you are taking a trip to the country, there are many Harry Potter fans that come and they make their way to Porto and they go to the bookstore and they want to go and see the place that supposedly inspired Harry Potter, but didn't actually inspire Harry Potter, but could have inspired the Harry Potter. Someone who worked on the set and maybe had an influence on the robes and maybe the costume department, but so far, not properly confirmed? Asterisk, question mark, maybe, maybe not, who knows? Don't expect that you can just roll up to the bookstore and walk in. There's almost always a line. Even I remember one time I was in Porto walking by on a rainy day, gray day, cold, and there were people still lined up. And the wait to get inside can be quite long. I have heard, though, if you pre-purchase a book online, it might be able to get you in ahead of the line. Don't quote me on that one. I'm not sure. Just something that I've heard, but never tried personally. My opinion, as somebody who's not really into the whole Harry Potter scene, walking by, just looking in the front door was kind of enough. And there are enough photos online that you can kind of get a pretty decent feel and videos online that I personally didn't have the feeling that I really had to go in. But maybe that's just me. If you are someone really into Harry Potter, maybe. But I'm not going to say whether you should or shouldn't. Another thing, though, that you really shouldn't do while you're in Portugal is try to tip like you would in your home country, especially if you're from the US, where tipping can really be out of hand. I have had people here in Portugal, even when just thinking about leaving a few coins, granted a few coins in Portugal can add up very quickly because of the how the money is here, 1 euros and 2 euro coins, they add up very, very fast. But even dropping just less than that, I had a Portuguese friend one time grab my hand as I was about to leave some coins and said, no, please do not do this. Please do not come here and change our tipping culture. And this is a friend who's a bit older and has been seeing a change in the tipping culture. And this was an older Portuguese friend, and they have been shocked to see how much the tipping culture has been changing and the expectations of certain workers and how it just doesn't fit within the cultural norms. But also, of course, salaries are low here, and that ends up being on both sides for the workers in the restaurant and the workers that are going to the restaurant. So I'm not going to tell you what the right thing is to do. However, I've not only been told this personally from Portuguese friends, but I've heard this quite often that there are many Portuguese who are really not happy with the tipping culture that's being imported here. And another big thing that kind of goes in line with this last point is that if you are moving to Portugal, don't try to change it to be the same experience that you had in your country. Oh, back home, we had this and we did that. And you know what? We had the best system for this and the best way to do that. If your country of origin, where you're from, is so much better and does things in such a better way, then maybe making this new place isn't the right choice for you. Even if you're just on a vacation here, it's really important to be respectful of the local culture and how things are done here and not try to push your way against the grain of the society. Another thing, though, I would say is if you're coming to Portugal, don't think that you're always going to need a car, especially if you're in the cities. If you're going to the countryside, yeah, you'll need a car. But even some more rural destinations will have train stops. Getting the tickets for the train, that's a whole different story, but theoretically doable. But really, a car, I would say, generally speaking, isn't fully necessary in this country. And even to get to some more remote locations, there are going to be buses that are available to you. And not just for getting around the country, but also to travel internationally. You'll have not just trains, but buses that will take you all across Europe. The trains system will actually be a little bit more limiting in that way. But the bus system, I mean, you can go, I think, from Lisbon to Paris and even into Germany, but you can really get all over the place. But I wouldn't necessarily advise that. You can find some really, really, really cheap tickets, like crazy cheap. But I would say with traveling within the European Union, thinking about a budget airline might be more worth it. And even traveling within Europe, something that a lot of people really don't get is how easy it is to travel. It's not like when you're within the European Union, having to go through passport control and all that stuff is not really a thing. Like traveling, say, for example, from Portugal to France, it's going to feel a lot like taking a flight from, say, California to Nevada. That you're not going to have to go through passport control, but you're just going to have your ticket checked and have to walk through security. You're not going to have to think about all the passport officials and all the extra time that that can add to your travel time. So it's actually very convenient to travel within the European Union. But I think this is where I'm going to round out this video, because this is actually technically a part two to a video that I did, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago by now. And of course, if there's enough interest, I'll be more than happy to do a part three. So if you're interested in more things to avoid doing here in Portugal, let me know down in the comment section below. But of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. A huge thank you to those of you who helped to make this project possible. And not only that, but who like and share and subscribe. All of those really do help just as much as the one-time donations through rafaeldifuria.com/support and through the thanks button here on YouTube. And also the monthly support through rafaeldifuria.com/patreon or patreon.com/rafaeldifuria. Anyway, stay safe and healthy out there. And I'll see y'all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.